Hey everyone, welcome to the Silicon Alley podcast. What a year it has been. I am doing a recap of my journey and an update on Ostrich. It's the fintech company that I've been building. For context, Ostrich helps people achieve their financial goals by putting you in social challenges based on your life milestones. So you've got community and accountability, and we're less focused on the transactions and budgeting down to the penny and more focused on, hey, I know that I want to get married, I want to buy a house, I'm getting a divorce, all of these different life events that happen, how do I navigate the financial aspect of it? And so that's what we built at Ostrich. We've gotten a lot of great feedback so far, but let me tell you a little bit about what's happened from the beginning of 2021 to the end of 2021. Some of the challenges, lessons learned, and highlights as well as lowlights from the year. So first off, for context, at the very beginning of 2021, we had just gotten approvals from iOS and Android that our app was approved, which was super exciting. So we were able to put it out there. There were still some things that we need to fix. So that took some time using no-code, low-code tools to fix a couple of those important pieces, such as notifications. And we went around Central Park and other parts of New York and asked people to download and test out the app. We got feedback from our friends and family, and it was really interesting. We learned pretty quickly, though, that the experience wasn't quite where it needed to be to really solve the challenges that we aimed to solve. It was missing some key features like the social functionality. So while we'd hoped that it would be sort of the beta MVP, it really turned in kind of an alpha, another working prototype. It allowed us to connect with our lead engineer, though, who we brought on, who's actually been on this podcast, Stephen Collins. So you can listen to that episode if you'd like. But that was really, really helpful and part of our process. But again, we learned pretty quickly that what we had hoped to be able to quickly grow and scale and just start really bringing on users wasn't going to be the case. And that was really unfortunate. But it's an important thing that we learned throughout 2020. We went around Central Park, gave away free beverages for app feedback, which was really fun. Got to interact with people. It was interesting. We had some folks that came up to us and said, how is your company allowing you to do this? And we're like, well, you're looking at the two founders right now. So there's no one else. There's no legal compliance to stop us from handing out beverages in exchange for feedback. And so that was really fun, and we really got to connect with people, and it was just interesting to hear people be honest. People that have had a couple beverages on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon in Central Park will be very open about what they like and don't like about what you've built, which is cool. We pitched. Finally, we're approved for a pitch. It took, I don't know how long, but we applied to a bunch of different pitch competitions, and we pitched in the Financial Wellness Pitch Day that was sponsored by Empire Startups. Shout out to John Zanoff for having us, and co-sponsored by AARP. And that was an awesome experience. We didn't win the pitch, but it did lead us into AARP's accelerator. So AARP has an innovation lab team, and Ostrich was lucky enough to get to go through their late summer fall cohort and learned a ton. It was an incredible, incredible experience. And off the back of that, have some really exciting things that are coming out. And we've got more ways that we're partnering with AARP that we're really excited about. What else happened? In May, I bought my first NFT. I bought a VFriend, minted in a VFriend, which was interesting. Had to get the Organized Ostrich because obviously Ostrich as a company. And that was really interesting. And I say that because that was a personal thing that I did, but later has led to some thinking and changes of how we're going to be building Ostrich and some different marketing tactics, as well as ways that we want to add value back to our early adopters, which I'll touch on in a little bit. We brought on an awesome, incredible UI UX designer. Like I said, we have had our lead engineer, Steven, but we brought on Raul Martinez, who is just absolutely fantastic and has been really, really great. Kind of all things design, from recrafting logo and icons to developing a really awesome user experience and just really sleek looking app. And so couldn't be happier with some of those decisions and just connections that we're able to make throughout the year that have allowed us to really kind of accelerate what we've been building. I volunteered for financial literacy camp. So got to work with some teenagers that were interested in Wall Street, and that was really interesting and a fun experience. Also opened my eyes back up to the world of Snapchat and a bunch of other things that I was not familiar with, but it was pretty cool seeing like 13-year-olds doing complex options trading and just absolutely loving it. There were also some kids that were kind of forced to go on it and didn't really like anything about finance, but that was a really cool experience too. And also just highlighted for me the different types of conversations you need to have with not just kids, but understanding the different levels that people are at. So age isn't necessarily a great barometer of where someone is from a financial literacy perspective or what their interest level is. And so like seeing a 13-year-old kid that knew more than I do, I don't know how to do butterfly options, but you know, he did. So good for him. And this kid was 13 years old, which was just kind of, so there's all these experiences like that, that I think also play into understanding financial education and building community and financial literacy. And so life milestones for us was something that we knew was really important, but we really solidified through the user research that we did with AARP and conversations with customers and early users of just how crucial that is. Because if you're having a child, you can relate to other people that have had children. If you're buying a house, you can relate to other people that have bought a house. And so using these milestones versus saying, hey, if you're a millennial or if you're a baby boomer, which doesn't necessarily encompass where someone actually is. So that's something that we really learned throughout the year, is that demographics are, you know, important-ish to understand, but what's more important is the psychographic, what matters to someone and what matters to a user, where they are in their life and where they need help. And so that's one thing that we really learned through that AARP accelerator. We also brought on a marketing advisor. So shout out to Wes Yee, who has a ton of experience in technology marketing and has done some really creative things. He's now over at Ramp, which is really cool. But he's been helping us think through our marketing approach, which has been really, really helpful and valuable for us. I personally went to first real life weddings again, which was really cool. And also interesting to talk money and finances and see how things have sort of changed to some degree because of COVID and not for others. That was really, really interesting. We've got our first B2B pilots lined up. So while we weren't able to go direct to consumer and get a bunch of users because the app experience and the no code version wasn't quite there, we were able to start having conversations with businesses, which is really cool. So we've got three different pilots that we are excited about for early 2022. And that was part of us just deciding and realizing as founders, there's certain things that we can do right now that'll help set us up for success. And there's some things that we can't do. I'm not gonna be able to go code an app, but that's why we now have a team that can. And because we've got someone else focused on that, now we can start to execute on our vision and what we want to do from a larger perspective. And we have a pretty robust business model that we've really thought through. We've got a couple different routes that we can go. And so now it's about getting the data and executing and seeing which way is gonna be the most fruitful for us, which is really, really exciting. So really excited about those B2B pilots. Went to our first live conference. Haven't been to a conference in a really long time. So along with weddings, went to a conference. And that was really cool. There's a lot, they're a lot smaller. So we ended up going to two in the fall, late fall, early winter. And that was interesting, right? Everyone's still in a different place when it comes to COVID and how comfortable they are and, you know, all that stuff, as well as just a lot of people still aren't comfortable being out and about. So that was interesting, but it was really great. Having in-person and real-life conversations with people is always just an incredible experience. I'm really glad that we were able to do that this year. Let's see. We reworked the website. We started putting energy into SEO and creating more content, which we're really excited about. And we now have this really cool NFT project that we're launching, which goes back to my experience with VFriends and getting more educated and informed on the space and investing in other projects and watching and learning and DAOs and things like that. So we're actually going to be launching our own NFT project called the Early Bird Ostriches, which is meant for our early adopters and early supporters. There's a couple different tiers, which we're really excited about, that will give you various levels of access and utility within the app. And so if you're interested, you can go to the website and you can find a link down in the footer or just search Ostrich, Early Bird Ostrich NFT, and it should pop right up. So that's really, really exciting. TBD, we're not quite ready to announce the date that we're going to be doing the pre-sale and then the full sale. But if you are interested, get involved with Ostrich. Follow us on social medias, follow me, and you'll start to see how you can get approved and into the pre-sale. We also got our first investor. So that's really exciting. Off the back of the AARP program and pilots that we've got lined up, we were able to secure our first round of financing, which is really exciting. Raised on a SAFE note. So if you're not familiar, SAFE it's a convertible debt note that allows you to set the terms and do a priced round later. What that does is it allows you to take in sort of smaller check sizes, angel rounds, and even some, you know, VCs and institutional investors will use SAFE notes for earlier rounds. So that's what we've opened up, which has been really exciting. And we've got a good amount of momentum there. So if you happen to be an angel investor and you're interested, definitely reach out. because we're happy to have that conversation. We'll probably keep that open for through some of the pilots, and then we'll look to raise a priced round. So if you are interested, it's a great time to get involved there. I learned a lot about setting up from a diligence process. We had to convert because we were still technically an LLC and had to move to a Delaware C Corp and get insurance and a bunch of things that we probably should have had early on that we did not have. So that's been really exciting to go through that process and learn what it is to really truly set ourselves up for success from a business perspective. And I can just say that, like, from where we were on January 1st, 2021 to December 31st today, 2021, it's just a night and day difference. We are once again launching an app, but this time one that has a much better user experience that we've tested in more ways with actual live people that don't know us, and it's just 1,000 times better experience. We've got these pilots, we've got investors, we've got multiple marketing campaigns, and this really cool, unique NFT project that we're launching that I'm really, really excited about. So a lot has happened, but let me get to some of the takeaways. So I think there's three that really stand out. The first is that creativity was really crucial this year. We ran into a number of roadblocks from that subpar app experience, from bringing on talent, where we had to really think creatively. So again, we hadn't raised money. We were just putting in a little bit of money into our own, into the app, and we had limited resources, had to support ourselves, Andrew and I. So we had to get creative of how we could bring on, you know, our lead engineer, as well as our lead designer. And that's been really interesting. And, you know, you've really got to understand what people want and how you can support them and make sure they get what they need and that, you know, everyone's happy, but you come to a solution that works for everyone in the short and hopefully has a ton of upside in the long term. And so that's what we were able to do, was get really creative with how we were able to engage those folks early on. And now that we've got capital coming in, we'll be able to move to a more traditional kind of, you know, employment structure. But that's been something that's been really interesting. And so I would say key thing from this year is just being creative of how we approach problems and challenges that we face. The second is perseverance. And perseverance is an absolute must. There were many, many highs and many, many lows throughout the year. Ride the waves, but understand that, you know, you're going to have more energy sometimes and lower energy other times. You're going to get kicked in the teeth and knocked down and all that stuff. And you just got to keep pushing through and have that perseverance. And one of the key things is having a lot of people around you that can support you regardless. And so I'm blessed in terms of having an awesome co-founder, as well as just an awesome support system between my girlfriend as well, you know, my family. So those are things that I think are really, really helpful to think through. But, you know, perseverance has absolutely been a theme for 2021. And then the third is one that's is fresh on my mind because I just hopped off the conversation with another founder who is in a leadership program with me, who has been accepted into an accelerator that we have yet to hear anything back about, that starts in a week and a half, which, you know, obviously is not necessarily, doesn't mean that we aren't going to be participating in the accelerator, but not a good sign if people already know, can already plan, and you're still waiting. And so don't compare yourself to other people. If I look at other entrepreneurs and what they've been doing, trajectories, narratives that people put out, it would be very easy to get disappointed, or in some cases to feel superior or that you're further along than other people. And I think what I've learned is that everyone's journey is different. You're going to talk to people at various points in time while they're going through the highs and lows of their business. And it's really important that you don't get caught up comparing yourself. I think it is important to have conversations and meet other people and brainstorm and talk through and think through how you can apply lessons learned from other folks. But in terms of comparing yourself of, yes, I am doing a good job, or no, I'm not doing a good job based on how other people are doing, is not a great way to navigate your entrepreneurial career and endeavors. And so that's something that I think I've got to constantly remind myself, because I am very guilty of it. And like I said, like coming off this other call where it's, here's this accelerator that we both applied to, and hey, we're in, and we don't know yet. And so, you know, it's all good, right? Everything happens for a reason, but it's really important not to compare yourself. And in that moment, it was really hard not to be like, oh man, this sucks. And then think through of like, wow, like we've been doing this for longer than this other person. Like, and I start getting into that narrative of like comparing. And so it's really important not to do that because they're building something completely different, have different experiences, different skill sets. The accelerator is looking for different things. They might have different portfolio companies that are in the accelerator already. And so it's really just crucial not to get bogged down in that. So those are the recaps from 2021. It's just been an awesome, incredible year for Ostrich, for myself personally. I'm really, really blessed, but I'm really excited for 2022, where we're going to be bringing in a lot of cash finally and generating revenue and have a business that is hopefully putting money into our pockets versus going out, which is what's been the case so far. So I'm really excited to have more resources, more proof points, and just be able to really help people in the way that we have set out to do with Ostrich. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Again, this was it's been a while since I've done a recap and wanted to give everyone a little bit of an update. And I figured what better time than December 31st. So thank you so much for watching and for listening. Please go ahead and subscribe to Silicon Alley if you haven't already, and go check out Ostrich on social media. We're at THE Ostrich App, at The Ostrich App, on all the social media platforms, and follow us. And would love to connect. So thank you so much, and have a very, very happy 2022. Are you interested in growing and scaling your business? Welcome to the Silicon Alley Podcast, where you'll hear from entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, and top performers on what it truly takes to grow and scale a business. You'll walk away with actionable insights you can apply in your own business and life.